We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. We stand and lift our hands. We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we say, everyone sing, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, it is. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we say, everyone sing, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's the rising up, it's all just what we need before we say a word.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. My every thought, he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear. And he hears me when I go. Oh, he hears me when I go. You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. I love you, Lord.
And I live on. Jesus,
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Your name is life that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Your name is light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is light the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be
your Savior, your healer, redeemer, the Lord of everything, no name above your name is Jesus. We worship you. Forgive us, Lord, for taking you for granted. Oh, you're high above everything, name above all names, Jesus. Father, we are so grateful for your blessings. We are so grateful for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, it's incredible that you allow us to gather together here, to be one in your name, to worship you, to seek your face. Lord, thank you for that privilege and for that opportunity today. Thank you that we live in a place where we can do that today and not have threats of violence or anything else coming against us. God, I pray that you would be with us this morning. I ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would bring peace in the midst of whatever storm we may be facing, Father God. Lord, let your love shine brightly through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, before I get into this, it just really struck me this morning when we were worshiping. I mean, worship was incredible. I love spending time lifting up the name of the Lord, but one statement just really jumped out at me today. Your name cannot be overcome. But here's the deal, guys. We need to live like we believe that statement. We need to live like we believe that statement. His name cannot be overcome. We have power and authority through Him. We have victory through Him. Nothing can stand against us because of the power we have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm done. A very happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. This is the day we celebrate dads. As I was looking through some old notes this week, I came across a Father's Day list. Not a list of wants or even a list of gifts. Not a list of particular things to do or celebrate, but a list of advice. Advice from a dad to his kids. It's a list that's been around for a very, very long time. In fact, it's been handed down from generation to generation for, thousands of years now. We can certainly learn from this list, and we can apply it to everybody all around us, as we're so good at doing. But today I want you, us, individually, personally, to absorb this list. Listen carefully to it. Take each piece of the information that comes and listen to this list that was handwritten just for you, just for me. I know we didn't all have super great relationships with our earthly dads, but don't let that distort the truth of the list and the words that you will hear this morning. There is much that we can gain if we'll take the time to just listen to the words that our heavenly dad has for us today. So imagine with me for just a moment this morning. In fact, for just a second, let's set the scene this morning. Close your eyes for just a moment. Imagine yourself sitting on your dad's lap. Imagine yourself feeling comfortable and secure in his arms and listening to these words that he's going to speak. Words of advice, words of encouragement, words of instruction. You might hear him say something like these: make God and people your priority. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. It's unfortunate that we have lost both of those desires in our society today. God is only thought of, or I shouldn't say only, but many times God is thought of or chased after only in the midst of a crisis. It's then that we turn and look for Him. In fact, hear me out on this. Listen to the words I say carefully this morning, because this could rub you the wrong way if you don't listen to it all. But equality has become the God of the day. And while equality in and of itself is a good thing and deserves respect and attention, it cannot be pursued at the cost of others. Think about that. Equality cannot be pursued at the cost of others. Equality will never be gained if others are being repressed in its pursuit. A self-centered people, a self-centered nation will never understand what equality really is. If we want all people to be equal, to be treated equal, then our first task is to love God and then love others as we ourselves long to be loved. Sitting there on his lap, you might hear him say something like, stop and smell the roses every once in a while. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? There's a lot of talk in our world, in our society today, about stress. Do you realize that roughly $300 billion a year are spent on stress-related issues? Whether it's health care or counseling or, aromatherapy kind of stuff, whatever it is, $300 billion a year on stress-related issues. Facts show us that stress can cause physical issues in our body as well as psychological issues within our flesh. We lose sleep. We become irritable and angry when we're under stress. But our dad tells us not to worry about things. Not to let worry, that huge contributor of stress, don't let that have any place in your lives. It does not belong there. Instead, he says to us, I've got this. I'll take care of this for you. I'll make sure your needs are met. When there's something going on in your life, just trust me, and I will take care of it for you. You need to spend your time smiling, living at peace, being filled with joy, and stop spending your time in worry, which does nothing but give you panic attacks. Clear your mind. Let all that worry go. And enjoy the very creation that our God has given us. Stop and smell those flowers. And enjoy that day. Allow that peace to consume you. Number three, keep your promises. Joshua 21:45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Our dad gives us an incredible example to live by. Not a single promise that he has ever given has or will fail. Not one of them. Not one of them. How many of us can say that of ourselves? But we have an incredible example in our dad. His promises are always fulfilled. He is our example. We certainly don't see that in society around us today, or even in our own lives as we just looked at. But our God, our dad, the one that holds us in his loving arms, gives us this example of integrity and honor that we are called to live by. And we should strive to be like that. People who choose our words carefully and then fulfill them without question or reservation. In fact, this idea of keeping our word should be non-negotiable to us. It should be a priority, just as our dad has made an example of to us. He might say something to us like, persevere. I know life can be hard. James 1, 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Our dad warns us of the trials that we are going to face in life. And at the same time, he encourages us. He tells us, you know what? There will be trials, but these trials are going to make you better. These trials are going to give you strength. They're going to give you hope. They're going to help you mature beyond understanding. They will help you to grow and to become the man, the woman, the person that I want you to be. They may be difficult at times, yes. But if we persevere, the growth that comes through them will be irreplaceable. We won't be able to trade it for anything. So don't give up. don't quit. Press on. Keep moving. And through the trial, you will emerge stronger. He might also say something to us like, express yourself. Luke 12, 8 and 9. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before man, the Son of Man will acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before man will be disowned before the angels of God. Our dad is not ashamed of us. Why should we be ashamed of him? Genealogy is a big thing today. People are spending money day after day after day to spit in a tube and to figure out where their heritage links them up. Where did I come from? Who is a part of my past or a part of my lives? People hope to find connection to some grand figure in the past so that they can connect that to their family tree. I confess I did it. I spit in a tube. I sent it off. I had somebody do that work for me. The information I found out was interesting. Absolutely. But see, we have a family tree that is better than any other family tree that will or has ever existed. We have the most notable dad in all of history. How often do we shout that from the mountaintops? How often do we make sure that our spiritual family lineage is known? How often does our family tree have that connection to the Creator for all to see? If we want to be acknowledged to others, we cannot be ashamed of who we are or where we come from. We must not only speak up, but we must live out who we are in Christ. Don't fight the molding process. Isaiah 64:8. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. You know, it's been said that if you want to know what kind of parent you are, watch how your kids interact with others. That's sure to show you who you are as a parent. Our dad, our Creator, is molding us and shaping us and forming us continuously. And He wants us to represent Him well. He is creating in each of us the vessel that He wants to use. Creating a vessel that is the very best it can be. Without flaw, without scratches or dents or wrinkles or cracks, He is making us into the individuals that He wants us to be. Just like the potter sets out to make an exquisite piece of pottery, our God is shaping us and forming us. He is making us into an irreplaceable, priceless creation that others get to see. As we're sitting on our dad's lap, he may say something to us like, choose your friends wisely. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. bad company corrupts good character. Who do we choose to spend time with and why? Do we spend time with those that edify us and encourage us and build us up? Or with those that mislead us and deceive us and lead us in the wrong direction? Every parent wants the absolute best for their children, no question. And our heavenly dad desires the same for us. He wants us to be surrounded by people of like-mindedness, of good character, of people who influence us in a wise, godly way. He wants us to gather together as believers. Do not forsake the fellowship, is what the Word tells us. He wants us to be together so that we can encourage one another and stand strong, united as one. Loving others, building others up. If we surround ourselves with people opposed to our moral values, we will soon find ourselves thinking as they think. We will soon find ourselves wallowing in the mud they wallow in. See, it's far easier to drag people down than it is to build people up. But our dad wants us to build each other up, to encourage each other, and to help each other stand strong. Number 8, let your actions speak louder than your words. 1 John 3, verses 16 and 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Truly, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. There needs to be consistency between the words that come out of our lips and the actions that we take or that people see. Because if our words are not a clear reflection of our actions, people will never, ever listen to us. People will never, ever come seek our advice or ask us what we think if our actions and our words do not line up together. There is no way we will have influence on anybody around us if we are double-minded, and truly that's what that is. George Louis Borges, who is a poet and a storyteller, once wrote this. Think about this for a minute. Don't talk unless you can improve the silence. Don't talk unless you can improve the silence. Our actions will carry far more weight than any words we could ever speak. We might also hear something like this. Remember your roots. Philippians 3, 4 through 7. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. According to the world standards, Paul was at the top of his game. He was at the peak on the list according to what the world might think. He was doing all the right things. He knew all the right people. He acted the way they expected him to act. But once he was washed and cleansed and forgiven about Christ, or forgiven by Christ, he realized that none of what he thought was right before meant anything. None of it. None of that stuff he pursued, none of that stuff that he ran after, none of that stuff that he so desperately wanted at one point mattered at all anymore. Remembering where he came from and what he did helped him to move on. It helped him to see the wonderful transformation that Jesus had made in his life. No, we don't want to dwell in the past. We don't want to be stuck in that rut of the past. But the past can be a way to encourage us as we reflect on where we've been, what we've come through, how God has molded us and shaped us into a new image. The past can be helpful. Number 10 this morning. Be filled with joy and laughter. Psalm 126, verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. We have a big brother, you and I. His name was Nehemiah. He called the joy of the Lord his strength. We need to learn from our big brother. We need to have that same kind of attitude. See, God gives us joy. God created laughter. And believe it or not, there is a therapeutic element to laughter. It helps us. It's good for us. There are amazing benefits to laughing. Now that may seem silly or foolish or crazy, but it's true. Laughing changes our attitude and our thoughts. When we think about some of the other elements of life, some of those more difficult and troublesome parts of life, we can genuinely begin to understand those benefits of rejoicing and laughing, which Scripture is filled with. It talks all the time about us being joyful and being filled with joy. And yes, that includes laughing. That includes having that good time, so to speak. They can be refreshing, like a cold drink on a hot day. It soothes us. Joy and laughter are good for our soul. We don't often hear that, but it's true. And that same laughter can be infectious to others. It can spread rapidly. So practice joy and laughter in our lives. There's probably a whole lot more lessons that our dad would teach us and share with us. He might tell us things like how important it is to discern right from wrong, much like those Bereans did in Acts. They spent their time searching and digging and making sure that what they heard was right. They examined the teachings every day to determine their truth. Or he might tell us how important it is to say things like, I'm sorry. to realize that forgiveness is just an incredibly vital part of our maturity and our lives. Of course, we can all relate to this, I'm sure. Our dad would always want us to have an open, constant dialogue with him. Even as we grow older, even as we think we have life figured out or we think we know everything there is to know, he longs to hear our voice. He deeply desires to hear our advice. And I was thinking about that. My dad came to mind. My dad and I did not have a real strong, real great relationship most of my life. We were able, praise God, to mend the fence and to have a better relationship before he passed away. But one of the things that always sticks in my mind is the fact that after I got married, I was out of the house, I was on my own, it was then that my dad and I would seek each other's advice. My dad would ask me about things, what I thought about them. How would I handle them? You know, how would I fix a problem? Whatever. We had that communication. I think of our heavenly dad and how much he longs to hear our requests. Dad, how would you do this? Dad, how would you handle this? Dad, where should I go with this? I'm confused, Dad. Can you give me some direction? He loves to hear our voice. He most assuredly appreciates our thanksgiving. He loves it when we express to him how appreciative we are for what he has done. He has nothing but our absolute best in mind. Yet he truly enjoys it when we are humble in nature. Even though he wants the absolute best for us, he loves to see us serving rather than being served. He loves humility. I know that Father's Day holds different feelings and memories for each and every one of us. I know that this day was created as a national honoring of our earthly dads. I get that. But I want us to be encouraged today to curl up, if even for just a couple of moments, in the lap of your heavenly dad. Let him wrap his arms around you. There is so much he longs to share with each and every one of us. There are so many words he longs to speak to us. There is so much that we can gain from spending just a few moments with him. And I guarantee you, he will never, ever stop teaching us or encouraging us or loving us. See, he's a perfect dad. Without offense to my earthly dad or anyone else's for that matter, the absolute best dad of all is my heavenly dad. Today is Father's Day. Spend time with your dads if you can. Love on them, encourage them, celebrate them, wrap your arms around them, let them know how much you love them. Celebrate those dads today. But do not ever forget to celebrate your heavenly dad and everything that he has done for each and every one of us. Not just today, every day. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the example you are in our lives. Lord, I thank you for being an incredible dad, for having so much love for us, that you sacrificed yourself for us. Lord, there's no question we fall short. We're not the people that we should be. We make foolish mistakes. We do goofy things. God, help us to learn not only from those mistakes, but more importantly, help us to learn from what you are trying to teach us every single day. Lord, help us to spend that time curled up on your lap, just listening to that still, soft voice of instruction. That still, soft voice of love and encouragement. God, speak to our hearts and help us to become who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Yes, he hears me when I call. Thank you for being the Heavenly Father that you are.